Hello and welcome to the Pink Bike Podcast. This week, again, as it's released on a Monday and we're doubling up on the output, this is just a quick intro from me. So, I got to sit down with Nina Hoffman in Mont Saint Anne and talk about life on the Syndicate, World Cup wins, and a past life as a potential Olympic athlete. I hope you enjoy it. Nina, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. A couple of years ago, I was working as a mechanic on the World Cup circuit, and a friend of mine who worked for Trick Stuff called Dag, he came up to me and he said, there's this German rider who's going to be really, really good. And he basically just said, mark the name Nina Hoffman,
okay,
because she's going to be really, really have a huge amount of success in this sport.
That must have been like 2018, maybe.
2018, yeah.
Yeah, when I was at Lenzerheide World Champs.
Yeah, and it just embedded in there because we were putting down on the grassy paddock at the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were over the way and he pretty much pointed. He was like, see that person? They're going to be really good at this.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, so that's when I was like, the name Nina Hoffman went in. And in the interim, you've enjoyed a huge amount of success in downhill.
Yeah, it went quite well so far.
Yeah, it's going quite well. Because I'm right in saying though, that you weren't always a downhill. You came to downhill quite late.
Yeah.
You were a javelin thrower.
Exactly. I've done track and field quite a few years and then literally swapped into 15 and then 18 were my first years on a few World Cups.
Wow. So with track and field, I mean, it must be a huge amount of discipline.
Yeah.
Do you think that, what is it about you that made you just be able to slot? Because it's also similar, I suppose, with Kimmel Blanche. She was an Olympic hockey player.
Yeah, exactly.
And she was able to, she had something about the mindset. Because I try really hard at riding bikes, but I'm rubbish. And you've just come in here and now you're winning World Cups. How did you feel immediately that you were good at it?
I didn't feel it too much, but my ex-boyfriend who saw me riding the first time on a full suspension bike was like, that's really good. You should work on that and put more effort in that instead of track and field and you're going to be really good in the sport. And I was like, nah, I'm doing track and field. I'm throwing my javelin. Mountain bike's way too risky, but it kind of took my how would you say, like, just like the passion inflamed it in me. And because mountain bike is just such a great sport, the feeling you have on the bike, the adrenaline you get when you clear a good section, and it just got me. And whenever I start doing something new, I really want to do it the best I can and try to get the most out of it. I think this is just a personal thing that sits in me, and maybe this ambition just brought me to where I am now.
So some people kind of, they come into elite and they're actually really, really fast straight away. They know what they're dealing with, but it takes them years to learn the craft of racing. But I suppose you've been doing both at the same time. Would that be fair to say? You've been learning your racecraft as well as, do you think your technical skills are advanced in the time you've been competing at World Cups?
Or? Oh, for sure. My technical skills weren't quite good. Weren't good at the beginning. I actually started working with a skills coach 2 years ago with Fred Abou, and he's really good. And he made me like riding way safer now and way more thoughtless and everything. Because when I first started riding, I was just doing things without knowing how to do them, just how it felt good and being a bit like having no fear for everything and just done it. Actually followed my ex-boyfriend and he was saying, oh, you can do it. And I just followed him and done it without thinking. But yeah, skill was definitely a thing that was lacking. And it's coming now, but I'm still like, things like doing massive whips, do no-handers, do all the fun stuff, wheelies, manuals. I mean, I kind of can do all this stuff, but not really good because I've never grown up on a bicycle when I was younger. It's all that stuff you would actually do when you're like younger and you just have fun on the bike and you're hopping around, all this stuff. And this is what I have to learn now. It's not coming naturally to me, so it's way more work. When I see Jackson on the bike, it's just, he's so playful with everything. But he's grown up on this bike, literally. And that's different.
Did you have any sport that, obviously the track and field, but sometimes you find out that people did a lot of skiing when they were younger and that helps sort of understanding. Did you have any sort of crossover? Was there any sport that was similar to it?
I think with track and field is that I brought a lot of strength and discipline to train with it in the sport. What I also did whenever I trained, I was not only doing track and field, but we always went once a week to the gymnastic hall and did like saltos all that stuff. I was a lot on the trampoline. I was able to do a handstand and all that stuff. So we always done a lot of things that need the ability to
kind of control your body and be aware of what your body's doing.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think that helps me to transfer into mountain biking and to learn new skills. I've done skiing. Like, I can do skiing, I can do snowboard, I can inline skating, skateboarding, all like that stuff. I can all do it to a...
You're just listing off sports that I can't do because I'm...
No, but like, I would not... In terms, I mean, I can do it. Like, I can get down the hill on skis, but it's not that like I'm really...
Not shredding.
Like, no, yeah, exactly. So, and I can like cruise around on a skateboard, but it's not that I can do crazy tricks or stuff. But
what's been then the, you know, I remember seeing a video, I guess it would have been the start of last season, team camp in Portugal.
Mm.
And it looked to me from the outside perspective that your style on the bike had changed somewhat. It seemed to be a lot more that, you know, that kind of over the front style. Is that something that you worked on? Is that...
That is exactly what I've worked on with Fred and my winter training. Kind of do less on the bike and get more out of it.
Yeah.
And that was a huge problem when I started in 21 with him in the winter and did a few sessions over the winter. And then, came to the syndicate, and obviously they guys helped me as well, because when I watched them riding, I tried to do the same.
Yeah.
So that helped a lot as well. And this is how my riding changed in the last 2 years.
And coming from something that was probably so analytical, like track and field, once you get into Olympic funding and stuff, the calculators come out and people get really, you know, really bottled down into it. How do you perceive the mountain biking professional field in terms of how they develop, take criticism? Do you think that... Because sometimes I feel it's a really weird thing, like, you know, compared to road cycling, where it's actually like, there's so much power you can put out, there's so much you weigh, so that's your watts per kilo, that's what really matters, or this is your drag coefficient. But in mountain biking, it's a lot vaguer. There are so many different contributing factors.
It's so vague compared to track and field. If I would not do my lifting session and lift that amount of stuff and do these repetitions and bam, 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 you're not going to be good at javelin or any other discipline. But I feel like mountain biking is so much more than doing your normal training. I mean, you need a bit of endurance, you need a bit of power and all that stuff, but in the end, it's so much skill and mental performance on the day when you race that I feel like training for mountain biking can be so different for everyone. And that's what makes it so exciting, because I get... Not that you can do whatever, but you can do so many things and it's going to make you better on the bike. And you just have to find out what works for you. And that's what's so cool is about the sport. And it's not too, as it's not an Olympic sport right now and you don't have the structures like I had in track and field, it's a bit more free. Mm-hmm. You can choose your own trainers. You can choose where you, it's like just like a bit more, I'd say just a bit more chilled and different. It feels a bit less professional. But when I'm coming to a race on race weekend, it feels way more professional than track and field. But I haven't been on the state where I'm now in track and field. So I've never been in international competitions in track and field. But I'm still working with the javelin guys at home. I still know them quite good. And it's just a whole different story where we are right now at. And the team, how our team is working on general, a few teams here on the World Cups is working is really high profession and definitely on a high level.
Even in the time that I've been, so I did my first season of mechanic in 2017 and kind of done a couple of seasons over the years, and then when I've actually worked out how much easier it is to be a media squid than a mechanic. This morning I rode my bike, I've been sat on my ass all day, I've had two drinks of Starbucks, I mean, it's been great. So no more mechanicing for me, I'm full-time media squid. But even in the time I've been kind of around the sport, I've noticed what I sense to be large changes in terms of people's attitude. I think they see the best, whether it's Rachel or Loic or Amory or whoever, and they just see how preparation just protects you so much. But whether in terms of mentally, but also you know, you just... How many people would give their right arm to have the setup that Loic Bruni's got on his bike?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, most downhill riders will talk about it at some point.
I think downhill has changed a lot in the last years, from being pretty chilled and I have a few beers and just enjoy my life and put down a fast run on a track, to I really need to do a proper track walk. I need to do another track walk after training. I have people on site who's taking videos. I might have even timing on site to see which line is the faster one. I have a person who's working for my setup. I've got telemetry on my bike. I've got a pretty good mechanic. Like, all these little things came in the last years, I think, because the sport got so much more professional in the last years, and the level is so much, but not say higher, but like different in a way that, I feel like you need to be now.
If one person starts doing it, then it becomes almost, you don't have a choice if you want to win.
Yeah, I mean, you always have a few ones, a few persons, they don't care too much and still are pretty fast. I feel like it's just more people coming, and you need to definitely need to work more now to get a good position and to get a good place than it's been
and
back in the years.
How does it feel to, you know, to come into this sport? Imagine this huge, incredibly fast-paced learning, both in terms of on the bike, the sort of the setup stuff, the just the culture around the sport, and within 5 years becoming a World Cup winner. That's what was that first World Cup win like? Did it feel like the end of like a long road coming through two different sports as opposed to just the one?
It definitely didn't feel like the end of a long road because it just started.
So it just started, you know,
kind of.
the first pit stop.
Yeah. So like, honestly, that first win actually came a little bit out of nowhere. It was 2020 in Maribor. COVID and all that stuff. And Miriam crashed in her race run. So that helped me to win this race. And I was a bit like, I had no words. I was like, man, I just won a World Cup. Like, yeah. I was the best in the world today. And that felt crazy.
Yeah.
And it gave me so much more motivation to carry on and to train. But that was, I mean, 2020, that was five years after.
It was a weird.
Or like 6 years after I started riding. So, to be honest, the win 2020 in Fort William felt so much better because it felt like I worked so much harder for that one. I really achieved it. I'm now in the syndicate and I can show that I earned a spot here in the team, and then winning in Fort William, that was just so much more and so much better than Maribor.
And it feels like women's downhill is in such a wonderful place right now. I mean, it's a really crazy thing to think that, you know, I mean, how to put this, like, if hopefully, you know, I think Miriam Nicole just had some kind of concussion things, but you know, her coming back, Tani kind of coming back, Marine Kabaru coming back, and obviously in the standard with you and Valley at the moment, it's just so high already.
Yeah.
And there's a whole host of other people I'm not mentioning.
Yeah, Cammy.
Cammy, of course, and like, yeah, so much. It feels a really, like, kind of like a golden era of women's downhill. You know, I think it's hopefully going to go from strength to strength.
I hope so too. It is so exciting to race at the moment because it's so many girls that can take the top spot and can win. And this started somehow, I think, in 2019, when I also had a really good season in the World Cups. A few of the top girls were injured and then made us the chance to step up in the game and kind of continue from there on.
But it felt like there was a bit of a power vacuum after Rachel. Do you know what I mean? Like, what's going to happen? Like, she had that injury and then I think Tracy won the overall.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it was like 2020 COVID and stuff. And then it felt like this new school of riders.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing, I mean, just so many people coming out, you know, yeah. Like, even, I think the depth of the field is really great. Like, just amazing riders that, yeah.
I mean, just when you watch women's down racing right now, the 15 girls that get into the semifinals are all fucking
shredders.
Good on a bike.
Yeah,
they're shredding. You can literally watch every single one of them and think like, wow, that's really good what she's doing on the bike there. And that was not the case 10 years ago. When I started watching a few races, there were a few top girls were like, oh, they ride like a man, but the rest, you got a bit scared that they're going to get the track down healthy, but that's not the case anymore. And it's not only the top 15, it continues to top 20, 25. And then if you look in the junior women, that is crazy.
Yeah.
We finally need a qualification for junior women. I mean, how sick is that?
Yeah.
Because it's too many junior women coming. And I think this is now because they've seen us racing like 4 or 5 years ago, and now stepped into, like, they saw us as an idol and look up to us, and like, I want to be the same, and they feel like they can achieve it or can be the same. So now they are coming. Like, it took a few years, so now they're here.
Yeah. Also, I think if you get enough people wanting to be the best, you know, the standards just get pushed higher and higher, and it becomes mandatory.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to, like, there is no, I think maybe even 10 years ago, there was more, maybe more people taking beelines around.
I was just about to say
and
that.
I just got to send it.
Exactly. It's not even a question anymore if you take a beeline or not. Like, we're definitely going to jump the jumps. I mean, it, only if there would be a very sketchy one. I don't really remember if there was something in the last years, but.
But no, it's always.
It's not even a question anymore. And it's not like, because back in the years, it was something that's okay, if I jump all the jumps, I'm going to be top three.
Mm.
And that's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
That just shows how the level is. And this is how each of us is pushing each other. By doing like second lap, I do all the jumps and then show that the others that I can do it. And they like, oh shit, I should step up the game now and do it as well. And it's just in a positive way, pushes each other.
And is there, from the outside, it looks a lot of times in downhill, there's a great deal of camaraderie between the riders. You know, everyone celebrates each other's wins in a really humble way. And I think it's really, it's like I said, never know, it just seems really great. Do you think that if the sport continues to get the standards higher and higher, that will inevitably kind of go? Do you think it can be maintained, that high level of camaraderie and that incredibly sharp end of the sport?
I think it definitely can be maintained, because I think that makes a good athlete.
Yeah.
You can win and you can lose, and you should admit to yourself if you haven't done a good performance today, give it to someone else and be happy for him if she or he deserves it, because he's the same way, like humble as you are.
Mm.
And I think most of the girls are this way right now, and this is why racing is so gorgeous at the moment.
Yes,
and
so
I
cool.
I can be happy for Vali or Maureen to win a race, because they are working there asses off and put hard work in everything, and I'm really happy for them. Even like last week in snowshoe, I definitely was gutted that I lost this race.
Yes,
I really would have wished to win it, but at the same time, Maureen was just better this day, and give it to her.
Yeah.
So all good. We try now again.
See, I'm starting to understand why you made it as a top level athlete and I didn't. I'd be there like, how could you do this to me?
No.
Why could you not let me have it once, Maureen?
No. You should ask yourself, what have you not done to make this happen?
That sounds awful like accountability, which is something I don't get anywhere near to.
No.
Stepping into Santa Cruz Syndicate,
mm-hmm.
must have been. You won a Santa Cruz before, but was it stiff? UK kind of.
Yeah, I was riding Santa Cruz bikes literally till 2017, and then from 1920 I got quite big support from Stiff, which are part of Santa Cruz kind of.
Yes.
But still been privateer.
Was that like, were you like kind of like a placeholder? Because I wondered in those years whether they were there like, this is going to happen at this time, so we don't want to lose you to someone else.
So I actually spoke to the big bosses in 2019 after the season already, and they were saying, we could see you in the syndicate, but not now.
Yeah.
It's too early, and we don't want to put the pressure of a big team on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally understand. I understood it after the first race in 2020, what that means.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful that they didn't put me in this position 2 years earlier.
Mm.
So I had some time to develop and actually experience how it is as a privateer on the World Cups. No, like, it's not, I would not say I've been a privateer because I got a good budget.
Yes.
But I still had to organize all the stuff by my own. And I really enjoyed it to organize all the stuff. But now when it's off my shoulders, I can enjoy racing so much more. Because it was still quite stressful on the race to get like, where's your pit? Check in and the accommodation. Is the flight actually booked? Is that the media stuff? Get the photos done. Upload this to here. Get the sponsors happy. So it's so much stuff around that you have to think about. And this is now all taken away from me. I just have to focus on racing. And that makes racing so much easier at the moment. And just, I think I can continue now for a few more years without getting burned out or something.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, I think we were just talking about this before, but the stress of having so many race weekends and also race runs within those weekends now, it's a large undertaking.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine for these privateers that are trying to understand how to factor in qualifying, semi-finals, finals, should they make it, as well as all the other logistics. I mean, I had to, this is a true story, this is really embarrassing. I had to organize my own travel here, which is obviously fine. I'm an adult. I've done it before. I didn't realize it would...
No, I'm excited.
So, this is so embarrassing. I can't believe I've gone into this.
You could still cut it out.
Yeah, but if it, this will be for the edit later. But basically, so I booked a ticket to Quebec, and I was right for Quebec. And then basically it said you're flying via Toronto, and you had to wait like 6 hours in Toronto. And I was like, but I got confused between Toronto and Montreal.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, it's only 3 hours drive. I'm not waiting 6 hours in an airport. So I just booked the ticket.
No.
I know. It's like, turns out there's like more than one big city out east.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then I was like, wow, that was so easy. It took me 5 minutes. I'm going to book all my hotels right here, right now. So in half an hour, I was like so stoked to myself. I was like, boy, oh boy. I sure am efficient. Booked my car, hotels. I was like looking at local things to do. And then I was like, oh no. Oh, good God, no. So I wouldn't. Not only am I not skilled enough to be a World Cup mountain biker, I literally don't have the mental capacity to book even one World Cup, let alone six or seven.
So is that why you didn't arrive yesterday early enough?
That was actually, had. So basically, for those that listen at home, I rented this little RV thing, and this lady was super cool, but it just took a lot longer than I expected. And because it's her personal vehicle, it was a very long hand. Like when it's a rental thing,
they don't care.
Perfect. They were like, which was great. But yeah, I turned up like literally hours and hours and hours later than I thought. Yeah. And it's been a very exciting day today, just going around. And it's the last thing I want to do is impact people's preparation for their race.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be getting in the way, but I am just getting in the way. But hey, we're making it work.
I had time, all good.
So coming into the syndicate, was it kind of everything you'd hoped? Was it everything it looked like? Was it more? Was it less? Were there things different? Because from the outside, they have this great sort of, I mean, it's a loaded question, but it seems like a real familial culture, like very organized, very friendly, but very tight-knit. What was that like coming into? Was it a bit intimidating?
Nah, it's actually not, because we started from quite a new point. So it's been a new era that started with us. Three new riders, all new mechanics. And it's just been actually Lyle, Greg and Steve from the old team. So Kathy was not around anymore, new physio, new chef, everything. So we had a new start. And to be honest, that was what I was dreaming of.
Yes.
So it was like, definitely I achieved one of my dreams, to ride for the Santa Cruz Syndicate. Because it's just the best team in the World Cup, I think. When I started watching downhill and seeing all the videos and team edits and that stuff, I was always like, that team looks sick.
Yeah, it's funny. I think going to different pits, you can get a sense of the energy.
Yeah.
And going there, it's always felt very clear energy. That's how I've always felt it. Just like everyone knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not a stressful place.
And that's the point. Yeah, everybody knows what he or she is doing. And I mean, who can say that she's riding with Greg Minard and Steve Pete and the team? I mean, that had to sink in a little bit when I realized Steve Pete's going to be my team manager and I'm riding with Greg Minard.
Pretty wild.
So that's actually Jackson Goldson and Laurie Greenland, another two big names. So this is how I felt in 2020 coming into the team. So there's huge names around me.
Yes.
And it's me. I mean, me. one World Cup, okay, but that was during COVID. And yeah, okay, I can ride my bike all right, but it's not that I've been Jackson Goldson and Laurie Greenland, Greg Minow or Steve Peaton, you know? Mm-hmm. And that actually put a lot of pressure on my shoulders in the first race. And I couldn't deliver how I wanted to, and so that's what they meant in 2019. We don't want to put you in this situation too early.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I think that Jackson's maybe a really good example of someone that's clearly always had a lot of pressure, but always coped with it really well.
Because he's just enjoying life.
He's enjoying life.
I learn every day from him how to just
then.
Yeah, so present. Yeah, Laurie the same. But like just to shake all the pressure from around off and just be who you are.
Yeah.
And love it.
Sometimes you do meet those people though. I met someone recently. I was like, wow, you're really like here and now in a really quite amazing way.
And that is he. Yeah.
Yeah. Where, you know, if we look at kind of countries around Europe, you know, the World Cup, not only in terms of its calendar and venues, but also I would say that Europe is still the main force in terms of downhill athletes. There's some really, like, you know, Canada's got a lot better in recent years. North America's got a lot better in recent years, but it still feels like the majority of riders are Europeans. How Germany doesn't factor so much as France or the UK. Why do you think that is? And because there are some mountains in the south of Germany, am I right?
Yeah, good
and they're
mountains.
Probably bigger than I grew up riding on a hill that was 60 meters in elevation. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, UK is a good because whenever they come in Germany and saying we don't have big enough mountains or we don't have good bike parks, I'm saying like, yeah, but UK. Yeah. And then people saying, yeah, but we don't have a good structure and we don't have a federation that's supporting the sport. And I'm like, yeah, in the UK. So I think definitely a point is there hasn't been a great athlete in the last years achieving big wins and big things and bringing visibility to sport. So people weren't too aware of the sport and didn't have idols to follow and big like people. Another thing is definitely a support structure. There's not really clubs around. There's no, like, the federation is not giving anything to us. The only thing they're doing is giving us the jersey for Worlds and paying for the entry there.
That's quite shocking, I think, especially when, I think from a North American perspective, so many of the bike brands they're familiar with are German. Yeah. Whether it's Canyon or YT or whoever.
And Germany is quite a big market for mountain biking. So that's a bit of shame, actually.
But I think there's a lot of, in the industry, some strange attitudes. I don't know if maybe they are justified because these companies are making lots of money. But you often hear about the German market. And like sometimes I've spoken to brand managers who expect to drop a seat post that they know to be too short in terms of the drop. But they're like, oh, because of the German market. I'm like, what does that even mean? What does that mean? It kind of does get some flack for that.
And Germans are pretty particular.
Yeah. Well, they're known for their short legs or something, apparently. I don't know. But yeah, it feels like it's this sort of pretend, like it could be so big in terms of when you think about what you'd need to be a mountain biker, basically you need to be, have access to sort of mountains, which there are in the south of Germany. I mean, I rode in Freiburg
even in
once,
the middle
and it
of Germany, where I'm living, it's all right for trail riding. It's pretty good.
And like you need a degree of like, there has to be a certain standard of living, I think, realistically, to be able to afford mountain bikes. But there should, you'd think you'd be ticking a lot of these boxes. Do you feel that there's any pressure being like kind of the German rider that people, maybe Christian Texter over in EDR? I think maybe there's some people in kind of more slope style stuff, but largely, do you feel much pressure coming from that?
No, not at all. I don't. No, because I only see it as an opportunity. And a good challenge and a way to bring more visibility to the sport, bring it into the people. And I'm actually trying to do something that the structure is going to be better, that more people getting into mountain biking sports at all, whatever, and just trying to follow their dreams.
Yeah,
and make it happen. And maybe then we're going to have a good rider soonish again.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's amazing about World Cups, though, is that everyone that's here, from the mechanics to the riders, yada, 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 they're all so deeply passionate. And I think if people could realize how wonderful it is to do something that, like, I'm not, obviously, for it's not available for everyone. I wouldn't even suggest that it is. But downhill is such a thing that if you really love it, you can probably find a place in some capacity, working in some way. I think maybe, you know, you have to get lucky with making connections and stuff. But I think it's so cool that in this pit we look over, there are like hundreds of people working and they all just really were probably one time like 10 years old thinking, fuck, I wish I could work in the bike industry or do something about bikes in life, and people are out here doing it.
And that's what makes the sport so great. It's just a good energy on the pits and a good vibe around. Everybody's loving what they're doing and working pretty hard because they're so passionate. And that's what I love. This is what got me, I think, with mountain biking when I on my first race, because it's even on the small races it's the same, just on a different level. But
where do you see, well, how has this year been for you firstly in terms of all the changes? Has it been, have you liked the changes, have you liked this block style of racing, has it maybe been, cause it was quite a late starting season, but now it feels like it's really dragging on. I mean, it's here in October and it feels like it's a long season.
It felt like a really long season. I mean, we started late, but I ended up doing races before in May already at German Champs and then some smaller races. So the season started for me already a month or 1.5 earlier. Not with World Cups, but still races. Now at the end, having so many races back to back and then over here doing US Open and everything just feels pretty long and intense. And then having this semi-final, which makes race day even more intense and hard, especially mentally. after doing a good run or a run in semifinals, and you go up and you have to do all the same again, just better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that takes a lot. And my opinion on all this kind of structure right now is, like, at first I actually liked it because I thought, oh yeah, it's more racing, and I think I'm fit enough to do two race runs and everything. But then in Andorra, we went kind of back to the old schedule because they skipped the semifinals because of weather and everything, and it ended up all in just one run. And I was afterwards like, no, that's downhill. That's real downhill racing. Because the semifinal takes something away from the final. And for people to watch, so what I've heard a lot is that it's not too great to follow. They're getting confused with the semifinal. They don't know where to find it. Then they can watch semis, but not finals. And it's just a bit too much. So
it's also a huge undertaking to follow a weekend of downhill now.
Exactly, because that was the thick. That was a sick thing. You could turn on the TV and then the women's race was like 45 minutes and you're done. And then the men's race, 1.5 hour, could be a bit longer. But you don't have that much time.
Yeah.
People don't have time anymore. So the less and the shorter, the better.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Instagram's destroyed my attention span. For me to try and watch two downhill races in a day is quite hard work.
Exactly.
In terms of how, obviously it's hard because I feel that, you know, we're talking now as far as I'm concerned, I'm just interviewing a world-class mountain biker, but I'm also interested to hear your opinions, should you have any, on how we make sure the best of women's mountain biking is best represented. But that said, it's not your job to try and fix women's mountain biking. But is there anything, is there any function or procedure or the way that women's downhill is played out at an elite level that doesn't necessarily make sense to you, or any changes that you'd welcome?
That's a big question.
It is a big question, I suppose.
So what I definitely like is that we are racing the same tracks as the men's, and I would not like to change that, like doing separate teams, like it's in skiing, that they race different weekends, different hills and stuff. That's pretty cool. And I just feel sometimes that we have to sacrifice ourselves for the men's race.
Mm.
There were ideas coming up of changing the schedule, and it ended up to put us in a not better space. And then we always have to be up there at 8:30 for practice.
Yeah.
I don't mind being up early. That's not a problem. But the problem is that the track is always, not always, but most of the time wet in the morning. Yeah. But we always practice on times we're not racing. So it's wet in the morning from the mist from the night, and then it dries up because the sun is coming out in the day. And we race in dry conditions.
And also it can change so much, right?
Next thing. We do in our practice is our on race day, and then the boys are again back on track and maybe changing lines. And then we have not a new track, but like slightly changed track on race day. And
I think for people that might not necessarily, they think, well, I can go ride my local trail and it's the same week on week. But if you see these World Cup tracks, the speed, how aggressive these braking spots are and how loose the terrain is. And sometimes they're so fresh cut, right?
Yeah.
It really can change massively within an hour, you know.
It actually can change in terms of that it gets dangerous, so that's why they change schedule on practice day now with doing B practice, A practice, B, A, because otherwise juniors would have went on track after a 4 hours A practice session, and
wow,
a track definitely changes a lot when A practice riders are on track, and then they have to do a qualifying run, which is a timed fast run on a track that has changed a lot. It depends a bit on venues, like some tracks don't change much, but like Leger changed so crazy from run to run, or Val d'Isola, and like such tracks, it's dangerous.
Yes.
So that's good that they changed that and gave us also a slot a little bit later in the day. But I would wish to be back in A practice like it was in 2019 or 2020 as well.
I don't know.
A bit of time.
I've kind of spoken about this before, and it might be really naive of me, but I would like to see, so we get 8 races in a year, 4 races the men's race goes first, 4 races the women's race goes first.
Why not?
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Because same. I think it would also disrupt like why sometimes the women seem as a warm up for the men's.
Yeah.
And then people kind of getting comfortable or whatever. But actually, like, I think people even on the hill would then wait and they'd get there earlier to prepare. And I think, I know, obviously there's things I don't understand, but I think Discovery is disrupting so much. They could also disrupt some really positive changes. And if we're going to do some, you know, That'd be my two cents.
A thing is, and that just sucks, is that, I mean, I even have to admit that, but men's racing is, or when a man is racing a track, it looks sicker than a woman because they are going faster, they are jumping further, they are doing more crazy whips and whatever. But it's just in the nature of of being a woman that we are not able to a certain point to do that. And that, like, that gives men's racing more whatever views, clicks and all that stuff because it is a little bit crazier to watch.
I think that,
and that is the only thing I could understand why they want the men's race at the last and not the women's race.
But I think that I understand what you mean. I mean, I think from a viewing point of view, I think that does, I do agree. However, I would say that what people want to see in terms of a grand finale is tight racing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, and the women's field is getting so much depth now. We're getting such tight racing, and you're actually seeing it across. Remember, I think it was like 2 weeks ago in the EDR, in the under 23 women's, the racing looked really close, and it was like 200ths of a second over 45 minutes of racing.
Yeah.
That to me sounds
nail-biting,
you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think this Discovery is coming in for a lot of slack for their changes. I'm not well positioned enough to comment on all of them, although I do think it's really interesting to talk about. But it could be cool if they were like, well, we're going to...
That would be so cool, but I don't know if the boys would be happy to practice at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, totally. But maybe that's the point, right?
I mean, you could even like think about doing first day practice, changed order.
Yeah.
With like A and B practice.
But yeah.
I don't know if that worked with junior qualifying, but whatever.
We can leave it then to work out. We're just ideas,
but like training times, and I actually think about, I would love to train with the men's on track.
Mm.
I think they don't want us to have to have us on track, but it lifts my way of riding much more when I see the men's riding.
Mm.
When I see, because now when I'm stopping. Nothing about the juniors and stuff, but it's not many people on track that are really good and that I can actually look at if he or she is doing the line well. And I see more sketchy stuff than I see good stuff in the practice.
That can put you in a weird mindset as well.
Exactly. This drops you, and it would lift my mindset so much more when I would be in A practice. I mean, maybe some girls would get under pressure because they're thinking like, oh, like Bruni's coming after me and he's going to crash into me. But if they reduce the amount of riders in general on a World Cup, and it's not going to be that many anymore, there is enough time and space to have men's and women in the same practice.
Yeah.
And then everybody would have the same conditions, and I could practice with the men's, get like do a few laps even with them, just if it's a section or something. That would help me so much and to progress in riding.
Yeah.
And I think every woman in the end.
Yeah, no, that sounds really cool. As we kind of round this off, I want to talk about your preference of track and what is a Nina Hoffman track? Like, if when you look at the calendar, you're like, thank God that's in. And if it, what are the attributes that it might have?
Fort William is my track.
Fort William. Is it just that the fast
even if rough? I failed in at Worlds this year, I still love the track.
Do you consider that a failure at Worlds?
No, I actually don't. I actually didn't fail, if I'd say so.
Yeah.
I failed in terms of the result, but what I did on race day was actually really good.
The process was right.
Yeah, the process was really... I've never been in that state. I've never achieved something like this to get my mind ready for a really good race run until I crashed after everything that happened before. So, yeah.
But
Fort William is definitely the track. I think I would like to say a lot of technical tracks, which are a bit more like slow and tech, but I always do better on flat out and fast tracks.
Mm.
So. Keen for months
and cool. And I think we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on, just being so straight up. It's been really cool chatting.
Thank you.